Many times during your life, you're going to come into contact with something, some ill that's happened to somebody or yourself in your life, something that may make you question your faith, or something that may strengthen your faith. Young people, I feel for you. Speaking just to you right now. I look around at what is offered to young people today and all the stuff you can get into so quickly on our devices, and I feel for you because I was brought up to go outside and play. My mom didn't want to deal with this loud boy, so she'd say, go outside and play and don't come home till the whistle blows. And in case you don't know what that means, our little town had a fire whistle, and it blew at 6 o'clock every day. Everybody knew it when it was 6 o'clock. And I know that's true in a lot of small towns, maybe even today. Anyway, and your mom and dad's told you things, and I'm sure your mom and dad's tell you things to do, like keep your room clean, do your homework, all the different things that they tell you to do because it's important. There's also some things I'm sure they tell you not to do. Don't talk to strangers. Don't be rude. Lots of different things. Think in your own minds, kids, and some of you adults who can remember back to your childhood. Things your mom and dad told you not to do. There's a reason for that, because they knew what they were talking about. Today we're going to look at a portion of Scripture. Oh, it's the Old Testament again. There's so much to learn by looking back at these stories. The name of the title for the sermon this morning is Lift Others Up. Everybody needs a helping hand now and then, right? And in our faith, sometimes we're going to have brothers and sisters or friends who have faith that their faith's going to be shaken by something. We need to lift people up, not tear them down. We're going to start out this morning with in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 5. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the light of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? Let's pray. Father, so many stories, and they're all in there, Lord, dirt and all, for us to read. That everything wasn't just honky-dory. Everything wasn't always cheerful in the Bible. There were some hard times for people. And you let these stories be used, Lord, that we can read them someday and learn from them. So, Lord, help us to learn today from your word how we can apply these things to our lives and have a stronger relationship with you. Pray this all in your son's name. Amen. I used to like to think, that if I was back then in the wilderness with Moses, I would have, wow, we just crossed the Red Sea. Well, that's amazing. But then they got past the Red Sea and they grumbled and they grumbled and they grumbled. Even after they'd been given water out of a rock, they grumbled. They'd grumbled before that. That's why these two words were called this, and they called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel. That's why those names were given. The people of Moses were bickering. They were questioning his leadership. Why'd you bring us out here to die? You can find those things in the book of Exodus and in Deuteronomy where you're seeing these things take place. I mean, just think about what they saw back in Egypt with the plagues and all that. I mean, think think that when they walked out of that land with all those 10 plagues behind them, they would have been, man, we have a God that can do anything. What really boils down to is they got out into the wilderness, and all a lot of those people could do was grumble. And they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief that God was going to give them that land. They had a chance to go into the promised land and did not, because they said, nah, we're going to listen to the 10 instead of the 2. And there came a time when they are out in the wilderness and they were going to be under fire. I want you to turn to your Bibles. These verses aren't up in the Bible. This is Exodus 17, verses 8 through 13. Here's the situation. And Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Now, hopefully you never have to do therapy, but when I had my shoulder operated on, I had to take this gallon jug. It had that much water in it. Now, a whole gallon of water weighs 8 pounds. But that little bit of water couldn't have weighed more than 4 or 5 ounces. If that. And I had to take this jug in this hand, and I had to go. It only took 30 seconds of that for my arm to feel like it was going to fall off on the ground. So here Moses is holding up a staff. You wouldn't think that'd be that heavy, right? Just a wooden stick. You've seen walking sticks. You've seen people with sticks. But if you had to hold that stick up for hours and hours and hours during a battle, your arms by themselves would just get heavy. Moses must have been a little tall or something, because the people helping him hold up the staff, they did so after he sat on a rock. Maybe they weren't tall enough to help reach the staff, and their arms would get tired too. So if you sat on the rock, all they got to do is stand here about like this and just kind of help him. And as long as that staff was lifted up, Israel prevailed. But if his arms got tired and started to come down, Amalek prevailed. This message was originally spoke following some other scripture back in James where it talks about being doers of the word. But when you're a doer of the word, not only do you need lifted up during your times of doing things that God, you feel God has called you to do, but you have to help lift others up to do the things that God's calls them to do. And the Bible has given us these stories as something to go back to, something that we can draw from. And I want you to look with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This will be on the screen. This is verses 1 through 3. The writer of Corinthians, Paul, is telling us about something that we should be able to recognize immediately. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, how were they led? They were led by a pillar by night and a cloud by day. When it talks about being passing through the sea, that's got to be the Red Sea. He's looking back at, everybody in Israel knows about these stories. They've been taught them ever since they're little kids, just like your parents tell you this and tell you that, don't do this, don't do that, clean your room, and they tell you some Bible stories too. These things were done to help instill within you truth. It goes on to say in verse 2, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was the Messiah. That rock was the coming Messiah someday. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6. Sorry, I'm not keeping up with the slides. That was 4 and 5. Verse 6. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. See, these stories were given to us to go back and read, and people used to tell their kids about them. Don't be like the people that didn't believe Moses. Don't like be like the people that questioned God. Be like the ones like Joshua and Caleb and others who believed Moses because God told him these things. So as we continue on in our Christian walk or in our ministries, we need to work together. We need to encourage one another. We need to lift each other up, just like Moses needed help getting his lands lifted up during that battle against Amalek. It's important to support one another, encouraging each other as we do God's will. We need to pray that God's blessing on each and every one of us. When we get up in the morning, and there's an illustration I want to share with you later, we just need to generically be praying for our families, for their safety, for our kids as they go to school, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they may be around the world or in this community, that God would give them a blessed day. We should know every morning that we're praying those kind of prayers for each other and for our families, because that's just what we do. You may be asking yourself right now, did somebody do something wrong? Why is he talking about this? It's not that anybody's done anything wrong. It's not that anybody's going to do anything wrong. It's just important instruction that we should be lifting each other up, looking in our prayers every day to reach out to God, so that when we come together later on, whether it be a Wednesday night Bible study or Sunday worship, or we come out for a work day, that we just, because of our prayers to God and He hears us. It makes me think of a verse I used in Bible in our Sunday school lesson. Ye ask not, ye have not because ye ask not. We need to be asking God for blessings on each and every one of our lives for each other. And when we're all doing it together, things will be so much better for us, I believe. When I was little, I don't know why I thought I could get away with this, but my mom had an ironing board, and it makes me think about a comedian that talks about ironing board and how in the world somebody thought that was a good idea. And I was messing around, and the hot iron was on the ironing board, and down it went. Boom. And I could not react fast enough. And when I finally picked up that iron and put it back on the ironing board, there on the carpet, about like this carpet right here, was the shape of an iron, melted to the backing behind it. And I wasn't going to say nothing. My mom's like, Rick, did you do that? Nope. Oh. I was the only one home. Couldn't fix it. I couldn't fix it. The results were permanent. It was a mistake I made that I could not fix. Sometimes things happen in our lives that we can't fix. Boy, and it requires some prayer and some uplifting from other people to help us get past it, to see that we can be forgiven for it, to see that we can go on. I saw an illustration one day that said this: it's easier to not break a vase than glue it back together again. See, we need to be careful in our lives. We're not just talking about broken things, but we can break people because of some of the things we say, some of the unkind words we say. I encourage my family members of dying grandpas and parents to remember these grandparents and these parents. Think about, save the things in your mind that you find that you want to reminisce about somebody. Remember them. Don't forget them. So that someday you'll be able to think back about grandpa did this or my mom and dad did that. But one of the things I remember about my grandpa, because that's the advice I give, is my grandpa would always say, if you don't have nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. And I know you've all heard that from your, probably your own grandparents. But God in His Word has given us all these stories that say just that. Don't be unkind. Don't be unbelieving. Don't do these things that question God. And we know this is important. These stories are important because when David wrote a lot of the Psalms himself, he also took other stories, and he incorporated them into the book of Psalms. And one of the things he incorporated into the book of Psalms, how did we get back to there? That was the end? Okay, my bad. I don't want to be there, so. In Psalm chapter 95, if you got your Bibles, turn there, because you're going to see some things in this psalm that are a lot pretty familiar. Today, if you would, Psalm 95, starting with verse 7 through 11, says, today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah. Ooh, there's that one word that was place that was called Meribah, where Moses had the rock, water came out of the rock because he did what God had said. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness. Those are the two things that was called back when Moses did that. He said he called this Meribah and Massa. When your fathers tested me. Here David had heard these same stories years before. Here he's including them into the book of Psalms that's put together by with some of his writings and Moses' writings and other things are in there. They tried me. This is God speaking. They tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years, he says, I loathed this generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore, I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter into my rest. Those people who perished in the wilderness during that 40 years and never went in, they're done. They're never going to be part of God's eternal plan, according to this verse right here. Here, David saw fit to have you include in your writing, in the book of Psalm, that excerpt from Exodus, because it was important. If you go to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, the writer of Hebrews quotes that verse in Psalm word for word. It was important. The writer of Hebrews didn't include that into the New Testament for us to have today because it was just, we need some filler. Didn't have a picture to go in this spot, so let's go get Psalm 95 and throw it in there. No, he put it in there because it was important. It cites it word for word. And then it goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you, one of you, an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. The writer of Hebrews wanted you to go back and read that story in Exodus. Read that part in Psalm that David saw fit to put in there, and now the writer of Hebrews is also saying this is important. Don't be like those people. Don't question God every time something bad happens in your life. Lift each other up. Go to your other brothers and sisters in faith. They need to pray for you too, and you need to be praying for them. God saw fit to tell us this story in Exodus because it was important. It wouldn't be in the Bible three times if it wasn't important. There's not one place in the Bible where you can't go look at when Peter spoke his first sermon or when different people spoke their first sermon. They always went back in history and talked about Father Abraham and all these different things that happened. And did not God say this to Abraham? And they always went back in history and came forward to Jesus because history was important. I hated history when I was in school. Oh, man, history. What do we need this stuff for? Who cares who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Who cares what all these different people did? That's 400 years ago. That's 200 years ago. That's 50 years ago. I mean, I care. I care today. But when I was a kid, I didn't care. That's why I try to talk to you kids about the importance of listening. Get off these stupid devices. Quit being on them all the time. I even have a problem with being on it too much. But there are times we just need to, if you're going to be on your device, throw on some good, cheerful Christian music or something like that. Or some challenging sermonette from some young person that you found that inspires you. Something from something else besides just a bunch of fails. I love to watch fails too. Cat fails, army fails, dog fails. I love them. They're funny. But you can spend too much time on that stuff. And when we have good moments in our Christian walks, joyful moments, moments that are uplifting, Romans 12:15 tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be there for each other. Rejoice with people when they have successes. Weep with them when they have failures. But then lift each other up so you can get past it. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. We're getting out of the New Testament and going into the Old Testament and getting into the New, or Jesus is speaking to us. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus told us that it rains on the just and the unjust. We're not guaranteed a perfect life just because we know Jesus. We're guaranteed that he'll help us get through it. Because we know him. It's because of what we know that we should constantly be in prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean when you're driving to behind the road on your car and that you close your eyes and you're praying, because that's just not smart. We're supposed to be praying without ceasing. Back in Romans again in verse 12, before verse 15, it says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. One of the books I love the most because I quizzed on it and remembered a lot of it was, for I know, this is Philippians 1:19, for I know that through my your prayers and help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ will return out for my deliverance. God loves us. My wife's favorite verse, and I know I've mentioned it before, she loves the verse about, behold, the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and how adorned they are and how God cares about them. Does he not care about you more than they? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. He doesn't get specific. He just says these few words. Brothers, pray for us. He doesn't tell them everything that's going on. He doesn't write it all out. God knows what's going on. So when we get up in the morning and we just are willing to say, hit our knees before we ever go to school, hit our knees before we ever go to our job, hit our knees and say, God, be with me today. Be with my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Lord, if anybody I'm going to church with or any friend of mine is having a hard time, help me to see it. Help me to be there for them. Help me to do the things that you'd have me to do so, Lord, they could come closer to you. Those are the kind of prayers that we need to be praying, because prayer matters. Lifting each other up matters. James 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. If anything today, I want you to come away with the power of prayer and how through prayer we can be lifting one another up, just like Moses needed help to keep that staff in the air so the battle went the right way. So we too need help, and we need to help each other. There's a story. I love stories. During World War II, a Marine was serving in the South Pacific. His platoon was under fire. They were trying to signal their comrades that they had taken a certain hill. Their sergeant issued an order for a man to take the American flag and raise it up on a pole to let other units know they had taken this ground. As he grabbed the flag and ran off to raise it, he was shot by a sniper. Another man was sent to retrieve the flag and raise it up. He too was shot. Finally, a young private spoke up and said, "Sergeant, in just a few minutes, it will be 4 o'clock. If you will let me wait until then, I will take that flag. I will raise it on that pole." The sergeant thought for a moment and said, "All right, son." At 4 o'clock, that private jumped out of his foxhole, ran over and picked up the flag, and then he ran to that pole and raised it up. He then turned and ran back to his foxhole and jumped in it without so much as a scratch. The men cheered, and the sergeant asked him why he wanted to wait until 4 o'clock to do what he did. The private replied, "Well, sir, it's 4 o'clock here, but it's 6 o'clock in the morning back in Kansas. My mother loves Jesus, and she told me that every morning at 6 a.m., she'd be on her knees praying for my safety. I knew that I would be safe while Mama touched heaven for me." Prayer matters. That guy knew that his mama would be praying. And without a shred of doubt, he took off for that flag, raised it on a pole. Someone has said the only person with all his problems behind him is probably a school bus driver. If a church has people, it will have problems. But whatever the problems, whether within or without, we also have Christ, the living water, always available to us in this wilderness. He promised the sinful woman at the well, "Whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Make sure that you stay hydrated. Drink often from Jesus. We're going to close again with the song, "Lift Him Up." Let's stand.